I'd like to talk a little while this morning about prayer. You know, we've spent a lot of time talking about our individual growth and our individual walk with God and how that God is bringing us into a deeper relationship with Himself. And when we look at Christianity as a whole, I was talking to someone yesterday that, you know, one of the facts that I see is that Christianity has not grown, has not matured, has not come into fullness. But for a few years, God has been speaking to us that He has drawn us apart, that He has separated us unto Himself, that as a people whose hand God has been laid upon for this hour, that as we behold the manifestation of the sons of God, that He is drawing us into a personal relationship with Himself. And when we think of the word prayer, so many different thoughts come to our minds. I mean, we see the written prayers in the churches many times. We see the long and lengthy prayers, and we see the fact that in the day that we're living in with the faith movement and things like that, that God has become a bellhop, that you're supposed to be able to just ask Him or command Him according to His word to do something for you. But I see a people who God has placed His hand upon in this hour that has a different agenda than what the world has. They walk to the beat of a different drum. They're not out to see what God can give to them, but they're out to walk in the very presence and will of the Father in this hour. Because we have seen that the purpose of God in the earth is to bring forth a corporate Son in the earth, a manifested, unveiled Son that will set creation free. And that He tells us that as we behold Him, we are changed into His likeness. And God says, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, prayer is a communion with God. Prayer is a two-way communion with God. Prayer is not that just says, "I want, I want, I want," or "give, give, give." But prayer is a two-way communion with God in coming into a relationship with Him. Not only are we to hear His voice, but we are to commune with Him. We're to commune with Him. We're to come into His presence and commune with Him. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And when you pray," and I want to just stop there a minute. You know, it didn't say, "and if you pray." Now, I know we see the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. And we pray, He said, "If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you shall ask whatsoever you will, and it will be given unto you." But to me, the essence of that verse is, abiding in Him and abiding in His word will bring you into the position of knowing the will of God. And so you are praying the will of God. So he didn't say, if you pray. He said, when you pray. So it wasn't a fact of the matter that, you know, whether you pray or not, but it was a fact of the matter when you pray. You know, prayer is not getting or standing up in the congregation and praying, or it's not getting down on your knees. I was thinking, when I was thinking about this, Lord help us, if I have to get on my knees to pray, I'm in bad shape. My knee doctor told me that when I had my knee operation that I would never be able to get on my knees again. So it's not the position you're in. Prayer is an attitude. I think so many times that we have that the Christian community has fallen short when they've emphasized the fact so much that prayer has been taken out of school. Instead, we should be teaching our children that in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, you can be communing with God, and there is no human being that can stop that which is happening within you. Prayer has audible prayer may have been taken out of school, but prayer has not been taken out of school. Man cannot take and legislate that happens within you. We should be encouraging our young children in school, yeah, if you want to pray, pray. In your heart, in your mind, God hears. He don't listen to an audible voice. He hears that comes out of the heart, out of the soul, out of the mind. And so it's when you pray. It's not if you pray, it's when you pray. And prayer is communion. It's an attitude that you're in. He said, when you pray, don't pray like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know, prayer is not a show. Prayer is not something that you do and say, well, wow, I've done a big, good prayer. Look at me. And when I say that, I automatically think of the Pharisee and the publican, where God says, that he says, I thank God I'm not like that publican over there. I do this and I do that. And God, Jesus said, who went home justified? Because the other guy says, I'm not even worthy. You know? That's where Jesus got on Christianity. And what would he do today if he came? If he were here in person today? The only people that he ever came against was the hypocrites. Whereas he says, you're like a whitewashed sepulcher, a tomb. You know, inside is dead men's bones. It's whitewashed outside, but inside is dead men's bones. You're a generation of vipers. Why? Look at the Good Samaritan. Samaritans were considered the dogs and the scum of the earth. But the Levi came, the priest came, the church came, and looked down in the ditch and saw the guy, and put up their pious nose and walked on. But the dog or the scum of the earth came and saw the man in the ditch and took him out and cleaned his wounds and poured wine in him and took him to the inn and said, if I owe you any more, I'll pay you when I come back by. And Jesus said, now who was the neighbor? You know, the fact of the matter is that God's people are a people of continual change. The thought that just came to my mind was that the word or the message of God is a message of continual change. Now let me explain what I mean by that. God's message was settled before the foundation of the world. His word was settled before the foundation of the world. But with Martin Luther, he began a reformation, a restoration of his word. that was already settled. On Azusa Street in 1906, God made a restoration of a word that had already been set on the day of Pentecost. So God has begun a restoration or a restoring His word that we have forgotten. And the thing of it is that we're not to be as they are, for they think that they can be heard for their much saying. But He said, when you pray, enter into the closet, enter into the secret place. And the thought came to my mind is not God's not saying that go get in your closet and pray. And that's what people take literally sometimes, you know. I heard a woman say one time, I don't pray in the shower because I'm naked. You know, God don't care whether you're naked or what. That's not a concern with God. God's not saying that. He's not saying, go get in your clothes closet and close the door and pray. God is saying, come into the secret place of where I am. Within. I'm within. Go within where I am. And He said, when you pray, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And then He says that when you pray, don't use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think they're heard for their much speaking. You say, God's not out there somewhere, and God's not deaf. You don't have to holler and hoop when you pray. God hears the quietest meditation that comes from your heart. God's calling us, and He has been for the last few years, to a people that have been given ears. And I don't want to say that we have to do. It's what He has done. He is calling a people that He has given ears to hear, to come into a personal, intimate, close relationship with Himself. That's the only place that we're ever going to be changed. We come to our meetings, our gatherings, which is fine. I love our gatherings. I love the time when God's people come together and center their minds and their hearts upon Him, whose lives have been put together with Him, who have been called to be a part of what God's doing in this present day. But I'm going to tell you something, child of God. This is not where you're going to grow. That meeting that you're in is not where you're going to receive the revelation or the unveiling of the Word of God that is going to change your life. I mentioned that scripture at the beginning, as we behold Him, as we look at Him, we are changed, metamorphosed into the same image that He's in. And he says that your mind is renewed, is metamorphosed by the Word of God. The thing of it is that when God unveils His Son, His corporate Son in the earth, training will be over with. It will be time to walk in the fullness of that sonship, to declare God's Word into creation. It's not something that I can do because I can't prepare myself. He talked about Ephraim one time, that Ephraim was a cake half turned. And you know how sorry that would be to try to eat a pancake half turned. And God says, I want you either hot or cold, or I'll spew you out of my mouth. You know, the fact of the matter is that God in this hour is training a people, is preparing a people to be manifested in the earth. You know, when Jesus came, Jesus made the statement. He said, I only speak, I do the things that I see my Father do. And I speak the words that I hear my Father speak. That corporate manifested Son in the earth is going to do the same. To speak the words that the Father speaks into creation to set creation free. And I always go back to the woman coming out of the wilderness. When they asked the question, who is this coming out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? She had come to the place where she realized that in Him I live, I move, I have my being. Hallelujah. That everything I have comes from my Father. He is the very sustainer of my life. He is the very essence of who I am. Because the Word says, as He is in the earth, so are we. We are His children. And as God was incarnate in Jesus, and Jesus was very man, and He was very God. God incarnated in the flesh. God's Son, corporate Son, many-membered Son, that is about to be unveiled in the earth, will be God incarnate in man. And beloved, it is these days that we are learning, hallelujah, to lean upon our Father. Amen. To realize that He is the sustainer of life, and that the victory that we walk in is not dictated by the things that touch our lives. We are human. And many things touch our lives, affect the way we are, but it does not affect the victory that we have in Him. Because we're in the world and we're not of the world. And so prayer is that that entering in to communion with the Father. It's the unveiling of His Word within us. It's a two-way avenue that we enter into prayer, praise, worship, and then we listen for Him to speak. You know, it's sometimes hard to be still and know that I am God. To come before Him and not have, with all of us around us, we see what's happening in the world, we see what's happening in our lives, and we so want to see things changed. We see hurt in humanity, and we want to touch that hurt in humanity. And yet we know that if God has not done it Himself, or God has not said for us to do it, we have to wait on Him. So it's a time that faith is taking hold of His Word, that trust is causing us to lean upon Him, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, to lean not upon thine own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Tommy was talking about somebody wanted to build a great big building. You know, if God said, I'm going to build a building, beloved, He'll build it. He doesn't need your donations. He doesn't need your contributions. He doesn't need anything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Whatever He tells us to do, He has equipped us to do it. And we say, well, I can't teach, I can't preach, I can't do it. Well, you can do whatever he tells you to do. This is a many-member body. Paul talks about that. Being the eye and the ear, or the more comely parts or the less comely parts. But that every body, every part of that is a part of that one body. When Joshua went to war, the Bible says there weren't but 300 of them. But the Bible says every man stood in his place. You see, the eye can't become the ear. Or the toe can't become the mouth. But the thing of it is, as we pray, as we enter into communion with him, if God has called us to be the one that may be less comely, we become satisfied with the part that we are and become the best toe that there ever was, or the best ear that there ever was, or the best mouth, or whatever part God has assigned to us in the body of Christ. You see, this thing that God is doing in the earth in this hour is different than any other time. No man shall get any glory. And in this time of training, in this time of teaching, in this time of molding, in this time of bringing us into his image, God is taking away all of this ambition to be a great big eye in the body of Christ. But it is a we. It is a unity. It is a body, a many-membered body. And that every block of that building that he's building, every of that temple that he's building, is formed and fashioned and sanded and polished to fit in one place and one place only. And that is the place where you or I will function, in the place that God has predestined for us before the foundation of the world. And that is the place that he is teaching us and polishing us and sanding us and turning up the fire to burn off the dross, or whatever it may be, or whatever we may need. He knows that we will fit in that one place and function in that one place in the manifested body of Christ. This is the hour that God is calling a people to come to himself, to rise up, to ascend in the Spirit. You're in the world, you're not of the world, so therefore there's no need to be trying to act like the world, or to please the world, or to do as the world does. Because you're not a part of it. Your mindset, the way we look at things is different. I know when I look at a TV show and it is obnoxious to me, it's going to be on there and people are going to love it to death. And when I look at one, I think, wow, that's pretty good. It's not going to be there long, because it don't fit in with the norm of what is going on in the world today. But I think the essence of it all is that God is calling us into that close relationship with him, to come into that position that he is teaching us, he is molding us into the individual that he predestinated us to be. That part of his body. And prayer is an integral part of that. It's not I want, it's not I want, it's a worship. And it is a coming to know the will of God, to pray his will. To pray his will, and when that's done, that prayer will be answered. And as I said, prayer is a two-way, not only to God, but listening to him speak within the midst of our lives. Because only as the Spirit becomes Word, I said that absolutely wrong. As the Word becomes spirit, that we are changed. And that's what He's changing. He's changing this soulical realm, this thinking realm. We are being conformed to His image and His likeness. Mm-hmm. Our thoughts, our words are being changed. That we don't speak those things forth that are not of God. But we're speaking that which God has given us. And it is an individual thing that God has called you to be. Individually, He is called. And as I said, meetings are fine, gatherings are wonderful. But it's in the quiet times of our lives, entering into prayer and communion with God, that we're actually being changed into His likeness and into His image. This is a glorious day. People say, well, I don't see anything happening. No, you don't see, because it's in the Spirit that God is working. It's not out here in this outward world. You see the big mega churches that are going on today. And people say, oh, God's in that. You know, God is there. God is there. Let me tell you something. God is in every realm that is here in the earth today. He's a part of what is happening. He meets them where they are. Because they haven't been chosen to walk where you walk. And that don't mean that you're any more blessed or you're any higher than they are. You're on the same plane. But there is a people. Bless God. There's always been a people. A first fruit people in the earth that have tasted of that which was to come. And that have walked in a fresh Word of God before it was disseminated out into creation. And that's exactly what He's doing in this hour. He is forming His people, His masterpiece, to be unveiled in the earth in this hour that will set creation free. And I don't know how can we even begin to praise Him. How can we even with our lips praise Him for the work that He is doing in this hour. For His called out ones that He is molding and shaping into His likeness. Has left sin consciousness behind, left condemnation behind, and are walking in the pure divine love of God. And are beginning to see all creation as God sees them, His children. This is His hour. This is His day. This is the time that He is moving in the midst of a people. And we bless Him, and we praise Him, and we thank Him for it. Amen.